I'm Carrie Rollwagon, and I'd like to introduce you to my grandmother, Barbara Lautner. I called her Missy. Missy passed away not long ago at age 85, but a few months before she died, we sat down for a series of interviews about what life was like when she was young. Today, we're going to talk about cars and Missy's first driver's license. We'll also meet David Lautner, who is Barbara's husband, and who I called Papa. And we talk about his parents, Ernest and Mildred Lautner, who I called Nanny and Gramp. Or Gramp and Nanny, I guess I called Ernest. You get it. I did want to mention that these recordings aren't perfect. We had planned to have more interviews and to do pickups. There are a couple of times where Missy's mic drops out for a couple minutes, and I've just left those because you can still hear her on my mic if you listen closely, and I liked what she said, so I wanted to share it. Missy did have a habit of jumping up to grab a photo in the middle of an interview while she was mic'd up and connected by a cord to me and the mic. So you'll hear that a couple of times. When she does talk about a photo, I ask her to explain what she's looking at, so you'll get an idea. But you can also go to carrierollwagon.com and look at my blog. You can search Barbara Lautner or Missy, and you can find pictures there. So I included photos of the photos that she talks about in the episode. I also wanted to thank my cousin, Becca Harmon. She is also a grandchild of Missy's, and she did some work editing the sound quality on these conversations, so they are more easy to listen to. So thanks, Becca. So now I'm going to let Missy introduce herself, and we're going to talk about cars in the 1950s.
My name is Barbara Lautner. I was Barbara Jones before I married David Lautner, and we had three lovely daughters, Susan and Stephanie and Joy.
Great.
And now we have seven grandchildren and their spouses and 12 great-grandchildren.
Wow. So today we're going to talk some about cars. I'm not that good. I don't know if you remember, but it took me a long time to get my license. So
I remember.
Yeah.
I have a story about that.
Oh, what is
with me? My father had died when I was 14, and my mother and I lived in a little house here out of Pensacola. And she had, maybe a 48 Ford sedan.
Yes.
And she must have let me drive some because I got my license the day I got married.
Oh, wow.
David took me down so I could help drive out to California where he was stationed in the Navy. Why he would let me drive, I do not know, with no experience. But that was unusual to get your driver's license the day you get married.
How did that work? Did you go after you got married or before?
The next day.
Okay. So he, Papa put you to work right away.
Well, he really had me mostly drive when he would get sleepy. And we were out west when the roads were straight and not much traffic, and he would say, "You want to drive for a while?" You know.
Did you stop and were you getting on the interstate like we do now?
Oh no, no interstates.
Okay, so they were all. So that trip must have taken a long time.
Well, we spent the night in a little motel the night after we got married, left the next day. And we slept, we packed all of our belongings in the van, and it came up to the back of the front seats. And we made a bed back there. We slept in that van every night until we got to California, except one night. We got a motel.
So quite a honeymoon.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
You know, sometimes people do that on purpose now. They'll get a van and go on their honeymoon and live in the van.
Well, that's what we did. We had a little cook stove, you know, that we cook things in. But
was that in the van or outside the van?
Well, I think the tailgate came down, and you know, David was very inventive, and I think he just made something, maybe put a board or something in the stove on that. But if you remember, I was only 17, so I was as ignorant as you get.
What year was this? What year did you get married?
1954.
All right.
The next night after I graduated from high school.
So this was it. This was an extremely packed weekend or whatever it was. You graduated from high school. You got married. And then you got your driver's license.
Well, I got my driver's license the day I got married, during the day. And then that night I got married. then we took off for California.
Had you been on a cross-country trip before? Had you been to California?
No. New Orleans was the closest, furthest away.
And you were in Pensacola. So Pensacola is where you lived.
Yes.
So New Orleans would have been. What kind of van, what was the van like? Oh, you're showing me. Okay, so we're looking at a picture of a Plymouth Suburban. And this looks like an old advertisement. It says the car with 101 uses. So I guess
they're trying to sell a magnet of this automobile. But now ours was plainer. It did not have the chrome nor the white wall tires. And it seemed to me it was shorter. But it was just a plain gray Plymouth van. David would send his money that he made in the Navy, which was $54 a month, mostly to his dad. And so his dad found this vehicle for us.
Yes.
And so when David came back from California to get married, that's why we had that van.
All right. So the van, Gramp, who's my great-grandpa,
mm-hmm.
Papa's dad.
Yes.
Your father-in-law.
Yes.
Grant found the van, and you guys just drove it on out. What, do you remember the color?
Gray.
Oh, yes, you said that.
Very mundane.
Yeah. So how did that feel? I mean, did you care about the car at all, or were you just like, okay, I guess this is the thing?
I didn't care about anything. I didn't even ask if he had any money. I certainly didn't have any money. And I was just in love. You know, mm-hmm. Whatever he wanted to do and how he wanted to do it was fine with me. And he was so easy to get along with.
Let's go back to the road trip. I feel like there are so many tangents I want to take. But so when you were on that road trip and you guys would stop and in the Plymouth, and you would stop and cook, and you had all your belongings in the back.
Yep.
Did you have any, you know, did anybody, were you ever scared? Did anybody try to, you know, take all your stuff, or was everything
that,
just fine?
That did not cross our mind. One night we just, used to they would have what they called wayside parks. It'd just be a little concrete table with concrete benches.
Yes.
I remember we just pulled off one of those one night. And,
yeah.
You know, nobody else was around. And then in Texas, we went to a canyon, and it had a shallow, shallow river, but they had made a road across it. And we stopped in that river and bathed.
Oh, yes.
Ourselves. And we parked there. You
yes.
know, no fee, no nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was more like that then. But we never felt apprehensive, as I remember.
Right. So So you bathed in the on the roadside in Texas. How did you, like, it must have taken a long time if there were no interstates,
right? Well, you didn't
take the interstate.
No, there were no interstates. I can remember probably Nevada. Mm-hmm. There was a little town called Needles, and I was driving, and I could see that light, and I drove and I drove and I drove because it was just a straight shot, you know.
Yes.
Very little traffic, you know. I had an incident on the way back when we left California. We'd packed up the night before, and I was supposed to go pick up David from the base. And of course, the Navy is, all military is slow. And so I waited. Well, it got late in the day. And so we wanted to drive as far as we could. And it was the next morning. And David had his head in my lap in the front seat. He was sleeping. And I was driving, and I must have gone to sleep. Because the first thing I became aware of is a noise, like a bump. And so I pulled off on the side of the road. No traffic, just little bushes as far as you could see. Nothing to divert your mind. And I saw this truck backing up and a road grader there. And they came back, and the man said, apologize. He says, lady, I tried to get out of your way, but you were on my side of the road.
Oh, my.
And Carrie, how God protected us, I skint the paint off the side, but it didn't indent the car.
Wow.
I was that close, but it hit the rubber tire.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
And right beyond where I pulled off was a bridge.
Wow. Wow.
So, you know, I've always felt God had his hand over us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because absolutely I was asleep.
Mm-hmm. So how did Papa react when he woke up and found this out?
You know, this tells you what a wonderful person he was. No yelling, no nothing. And he said, I think we better find a motel.
Yeah.
and then I began to wonder, what will his folks say?
Yes.
You know, because
I'm... Because Grandpa had bought you the car, right?
With David's money, but, you know. And, I mean, I didn't know them all that well.
Right.
hadn't had any experience with them being upset about something, you know. But he never said, you know, anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
Just that I think we better find a motel.
Yeah. Now we're told, have conversations about money, have conversations about children, religion, all of those things. Make sure you talk about that before you got married. Did people tell you that then? Or do you think it was because you were married young? Or
David always believed God led us together. When David was in high school, his mother said, you need to start praying for the right girl. And he said, I did. And circumstances brought us together in a very unusual way.
Yes.
Nobody, no preacher, no Sunday school teacher or anything ever said anything about, you need to be praying about the right person.
Mm-hmm.
Why, I don't understand why that wasn't discussed, but it wasn't. So no one, I don't remember any girls inquiring about the finances or in anything like that, you know.
Right.
It was just happening.
Right.
That was fine with me.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I think some of the reason people talk about having kids is because now it seems like it's an option. Did it feel then like we won't have kids, or was it just like Well, of course we're going to have kids.
Well, I thought we wanted children. I don't remember us discussing it, but... I don't think we planned to have Susan in college.
Yeah.
she was a surprise.
Yes.
You know? We didn't use much preventative back then. And we were both Christians at an early age, mm-hmm. so that was... You know.
So you had talked about that, not necessarily like a checklist for when what do we need to talk about, but you knew, did you go to church together before? Or?
Yes, he went to a Methodist church and I went to a Baptist. When he started dating me, he would come to church with me.
Okay.
One Sunday night, Carrie, couples often parked.
Yes.
I don't know how the fellas found these little dirt roads to go park in. But we were parked, and a lot of smooching mm-hmm. going on, but not sexual stuff then. And must have been something the pastor preached on, because I was sort of thinking the same thing when David initiated the subject of praying together. Audibly,
mm-hmm.
and so we started doing that. He was stationed in Pensacola then, and so I would pray, and then he would pray, and we continued that the rest of our lives. I would just roll over in his arms at night. I'd pray, and then he'd pray, mm-hmm. and I think that's one reason God blessed us so.
What kind of things do you remember? The kind of things you prayed for when you were younger,
especially for the children we might have. And as they came, I would especially pray for their health, their mentality, you mm-hmm. know, and to keep them safe, things like that.
Mm-hmm. Were you doing this while other couples were parking? Did you do a park and pray situation?
Oh, no, okay. No. We were just in our own little spot.
Okay.
The funniest thing I ever remember, when we were parked one night, someone came. We had no air conditioning, you know. Mm-hmm. Windows were down. Someone came dark, and he said, "Have you seen a little dog running around here? I've lost my dog. Like to scare us to death,
yeah.
or did me? You know." It was someone just playing a joke.
So, were you always praying, or did you also do some smooching?
Oh, no, your papa was a heavy smoocher.
Yeah.
Until I got older and I started reading some books, and I really didn't connect some of the terms we used. Smooching was just hugging and kissing.
Mm-hmm.
Petting, the guy's hands, you know, have
right.
to...
They're wandering hands.
Yeah. And I was so thankful that your papa never urged me to have sex mm-hmm. before we were married. But I guess because we both were Christians, that doesn't mean that won't happen, you
right.
know. But I thought that was interesting that I was old before I realized the difference in smooching and petting and
right.
I don't think as much went on then.
Mm-hmm.
There's one mundane thing that contributes to that. Not everybody had a car.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
You know, well. So you couldn't just go pick up the girl just any time and go somewhere. You had to get daddy's car, and
yeah.
you had a time limit. And most girls' parents had time limits.
Yes. Okay.
For them, but that doesn't mean you can.
Right. You can always find somewhere. But I get what you're saying. That makes it that is easier when you have like a car is a different level of autonomy.
Yeah.
So how many, people do you think had cars? Was it like half the people, 25%, not very many?
No, I would say. Probably not even 15%.
Okay. And then do you think of those 15%, do you think they were mostly men or men, like guys? No,
yes,
or,
guys.
Was it pretty unusual for a girl in high school to have a car? Did you know anybody who did?
No.
Okay, so pretty unusual.
Yeah. Well, once in a while a girl would borrow a father's car if the father was very lenient.
Yeah.
You know.
Right. So it wasn't normal. Was it normal for girls to even get their driver's license?
I don't think so. I'm trying to rack my brain as what girls I knew that drove cars, and I don't remember any.
So did you take the bus a lot? Did your parents
yes.
drive you? Okay.
Mother had to come pick me up from cheerleader practice okay. sometime. But most of the time, I just rode the bus. A lot of walking then.
Yes.
Because where the bus would drop me off, I'd still have maybe a quarter of a mile
right.
to walk back in my house. And it was just an accepted thing because the school I went to was a rural community school.
Right. I think we had to walk normally also, but I think it's because my sister and I went to a Christian school that wasn't in our district necessarily. So people were all spread out, whereas I think most people who take buses are dropped off really close to their house. Well, did you have a bike? Did you ride a bike at all growing up?
I saw a picture and going through the pictures of me on a bike. I don't know if it was somebody else's. I don't remember having a bike. They weren't real desirable because you weren't able to get on hard surfaces to ride your bike.
Right. So were there mostly like dirt roads
yeah.
still?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not as fun.
No, it isn't.
Yeah.
It isn't. Now, when I was younger, I did a lot of walking. I had two girlfriends because we lived in a rural area. Mm-hmm. One lived, and I want to say half a mile, maybe it was further, between from me to both of them. But as I say, times were different and very trusting.
Thanks for listening today. I was trying to think of some ways that we could honor Barbara if you enjoyed this episode. And honestly, she loved to have adventures. She loved to go skiing, snow skiing, water skiing. She loved to be with her family. She would get us together for all kinds of things. We had to do a Christmas pageant every year for just the family. We ate together at this huge table. At the time, we all resisted, but now we're glad we did. And she loved hosting. So if you want to honor Barbara, I would say invite people into your life, your family, your friends, strangers, and invite adventure in as well.